Welcome to Current Situations Radio Live. It's your girl, Noel Jones, with my beautiful co-host, Renee Reeves. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Noel. Hi, everybody. Welcome to CBS Radio on this beautiful Wednesday.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in. I'm so excited about today's guest, Renee. You know, I've just been, like, talking about this for a couple of weeks now, right?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes, my guest today is the lovely Tamara Richardson, also known as the Southern Belle Medium. Hi, Tamara. How are you today?
Hello, beautiful. How are you doing, Noel?
I'm so blessed today. I'm so glad to have you on our show today.
Oh, I feel so blessed to be here and to be chatting with you both, and I know we're going to have a great time. The first time I talked to you, I knew you were a special lady.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
And you as well. It's like we ended up being friends. That's great. Now,
yeah.
Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, I know for one that you had 6 near-death life experiences.
Kind of a lot.
Well,
you feel like you should have a drum roll after
that.
Each one. This is a lot. Right. It sounds like really bad, but, you know, when it includes heaven, it's not really that bad. You know, but yes. Did you want me to jump in and tell you a little bit about
it? Yeah, like, what was your first one? Because we have 6 to go through. Like, I'm just so intrigued. What was the very first one?
It's actually sounding like a comedy routine after a bit. So, but, yeah, I could give you, like, the highlights and so forth. It's funny. I will say this. A lot of people that have had near-death experiences do not realize they have had them. And it will come through maybe in dreams, or it will come through in other ways. It may not show up till later in life. But and I also did not realize that I had a prenatal near-death experience. I didn't even know there was such a thing, but there's a lady, PHW Atwater, and she has a book. It's called The Big Book of Near-Death Experiences, or whatever. You know how they have these big book of... Anyway, and she, her specialty is children, and so I actually do remember my mom having complications, and I actually being above the body, hearing her, hearing my aunt, hearing things, and then I went out in the yard, and I came back, and she about lost me. So that was, I didn't know that was actually possible, but I think a lot of people don't realize that we are not, there's really no such thing as being dead or alive. It's about being consciously aware, basically all the time. And so before we come here, we have an agreement. This is, of course, you know, these are my experiences, my point of view. And to me,
you're my guest today, so I want to know your views. Yes.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, this is from my point of view. And it's really religious-free. It's because they don't have a section in heaven for the Christians or for the Mormons. It doesn't really work like that. So, as far as before we come here, we make an agreement with God on our life path, and who are we going to intersect with, and who are we going to know, and those people make agreements. You know, maybe they make agreements, maybe like Renee. Maybe you know, we're buds in heaven. I don't know, but you made an agreement. We're gonna connect. We're gonna do some great things in the world. We're gonna share some love. So, and then when we get here, we're trying to find our life purpose. And we know it's something because we've discussed it in heaven. And even some of the people we're gonna be with, even some of the bad, say, relationships or whatever we've been through, those are even agreed upon as a learning experience. So, because we are eternal spiritual beings, so there is an awareness before we're even born. So the third one was when I was at my cousin's house. It was in Hickory, North Carolina, and it was a big antebellum home. But I don't know why. But it was my uncle's mother-in-law and their daughter. I was playing with my cousin, and they had a dresser, and they had hammered a nail under the dresser. So there was this nail hanging down, and as I was jumping, I didn't know it was there. and it pierced through my head on the nail head end. And I felt this water, but it was blood. And so it kind of shocked me because I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I basically passed out. And then I went the whole thing, you know, above my body, so all of that. And then my mom came in there, and she didn't know what it was. She didn't know what was going on. And I heard the conversation from above what was going on, and I saw beings of light start filling the room, the hall, the house. I mean, it was a lot, like 200 people or more, which at 3 years old, you know, what three-year-old knows that many people? Right?
Exactly, right.
Think about it. They only know, like, their parents or grandparents or their aunt or uncle.
Members.
They don't, you know what I mean? How many people do they really know?
Right.
But it was filled up. And it was like beings of light, like I couldn't see faces, but they were the shapes of people, and they were beings of light. So they were, there was no male, female, age, sex. It was just beings of light. So then above, and I'm really seemed unconcerned about it, there is a 7-foot, in my opinion, it was an angel. And it felt like my guardian angel. It was 7 or 8 foot tall, and they had their hands over my head, like to heal it.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like the shape of wings, but again, they were a being light, but they were brighter than the others. They emanated a brighter light. And then I heard a disembodied voice say, "This is not your time. You have much to do." And then I was back in my body. And next thing you know, they're making a big issue. The older lady was friends with my grandmother. They called my grandmother and my granddaddy. They came over. They took me to a doctor, and the doctor said I had a contusion and I had to watch my head for the swelling. And basically, I had a hole in the top of my head for 2 years. I mean, it was like soft as the skin was going back, which is really not probably the best way to have a connection with God, to open your crown chakra, to put a nail through it. There's better ways to make that happen.
So you feel like that was your defining moment? That's when you gained a connection, or you were over to open up to your abilities? Is that at that time you remember?
Weird. I mean, it's the nail on the nail head end. I think a lot having to do because it was a head injury. And then the next year, it was my future stepdad, my mom was dating, put in the brakes in the snow, and my head went through the windshield. And so that was a very quick out-of-body experience and near death. It was more out-of-body, but it was the head again. And then the next year, the biggest one was I had strep throat and was very sick. And actually, my mom never told me this. I actually found this out.
Okay.
I knew it. But I ran Dianetic auditing from a person that did that, and it goes to an earlier time. But it was just sitting right there. I have pages of this stuff, what was on TV and all of this. But basically, my mom told me when I was at 5 years old, she said that I had, what did she say, sore throat. She took me to the emergency room. But in reality, I had pneumonia, and I went to a very large hospital. What happened is my fever kept going up, and it was 103.9, and they didn't take me to the hospital. They were young parents. They didn't know.
Okay.
And, they didn't have much money. They're like, put Robitussin on it. You know what I mean?
Okay, right.
She'll be fine. And I kept getting sicker, so my mom put me to bed. I wasn't eating. I remember she tried to make me a grilled cheese sandwich. She put me in the bed, and then she went to check on me. I was completely soaking wet and basically half unconscious. And so my dad at the time worked at a radio station, WKIX, in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was the day of the shooting of Martin Luther King. So we had, if you remember, that was martial law, right?
Right.
So they even brought in the National Guard in many of the larger cities. So here, you're not supposed to be out, curfew. You're not supposed to be in a car. You're not supposed to be driving. So they had full-on military. And the military, and I remember at that point, I'm above the car watching all this. Like, and my mom was cussing my dad out in very harsh words that he had killed my daughter because he was waiting to take me. I remember that.
Oh,
and she was yelling because I actually died in the car. And I was watching the whole thing above my body, and he said, I need you, she stopped at this military gate on the highway and said, you know, my daughter has to go to the hospital. She's dying. And he goes through, and I remember the walkie-talkies from one guy said something to the next, and then they opened the gates and they let me through. They had, like, stops on the road. You weren't supposed to be on the road. They were serious, yeah. So when we get to the hospital, he runs me in, but I'm already above my body watching all this. So if they put me in the room, I'm watching the surgery, I'm watching the whole thing above, and basically I'm hearing her bronchial tubes blast. I'm seeing them take the fluid out of my lungs, and it kind of grossed me out. So as a spirit being, I started zooming around the hospital, talking to people that had just crossed over, and talked to a couple people there, talked to an older lady, talked to a little girl, she had a brownie outfit on. And they didn't know they were dead because they're really not dead. They're just in spirit form. And so I was looking at the vending machine with the candy and stuff, and then I came back into spirit form. I'm fast like a bullet. I come back into the emergency room, and I hear that it's been 10 minutes now, and we can't get a pulse. We can't get her stabilized. And then then one of the nurses said, well, I have a daughter about her age. So then I see this woman, and she's not a real woman. She's a spirit woman, and she's a nun. And she's in the operating room, and she has a rosary, and she's kissing it. And she said, blessed are the innocent. And my thoughts on that, I think she must have had a ministry in life to help children. And so, you know, when children show up at the hospital to die, I guess she shows up still. Like, she takes that commitment seriously, right? Like, I'm here to help children. She still lives, even in passing. And then there was a acidic Jewish priest, man of the cloth, you know, he was there. And then I saw children playing, and they were just kind of right behind him. And then I went down the hall again, and I saw different time periods. I saw the elevator from, I guess that was 1968, 69, and they had the modern elevator, but then next to it, there was another elevator that was another time period that looked like the 20s or 30s, so maybe this place used to be a hospital that was an older hospital because it was like an accordion elevator, and then there were some women, that, you know what I mean? It was like old-timey. We had to pull it back and get in beside the modern one, and I was seeing different layers of time on one of them because in heaven there is no time. There is no time at all. Time is something we created so we could all meet up and go to the movies and, you know, meet up at a job or whatever we need to do. But there is really no time in that other reality. So then I saw two nurses pushing a gurney, and I don't think anyone was on the gurney. But they were just pushing a gurney. And they had on shoes and attire like World War II nurses. That's what they looked like. And they smiled and giggled. And then there was a guy painting, and he looked like a 50s guy. Like, he was talking like in the 50s style. Like, I wanted to see him like in a soda shop. So I had different time periods layered on there. So I'm back in the flashback into the room looking, and then I look at the kids playing, and all of a sudden that became real and layered on top. And then I looked beside me, and there was a man kneeling beside me, and he held my right hand. And I said, you're that man I talked to. And he started laughing, and he goes, I am. And it was Jesus. And I wasn't really necessarily, my grandmother was very religious, but it wasn't like my parents were not religious at all. But it was Jesus. There was no doubt about it. I mean, it wasn't anyone that looked like him. It was him.
Okay.
And but you had never been taught about, like, Jesus and God, and you weren't particularly
My grandmother, but I never really had any, you know, my parents were young and kind of partiers. They didn't go to church. My grandmother told me, but I didn't really have, you know, I knew who he was.
The foundation.
That way.
Okay.
And I did talk to him, and I prayed to him, and I talked to him. But I have read, being said that I've talked to people all different religions, and I've had ascended masters come through. I had a Hindu, I've read rabbi minister, a rabbi priest, a Methodist minister, all different religions, and their religion comes through, whatever it is. However, I've read people and they are another religion, but they know mm-hmm. who Jesus is, and he shows up. So he
right.
shows up. He does. He shows up. So whether you think he's the Son of God or an ascended master, he's ascended, okay? I mean, so, and as we walked, he told me, you got to go back. It's not your time. I said, well, I don't want to because they're here, and I pointed to children playing. And,
right.
of course, my husband goes, you would argue with Jesus. This does sound like you.
And so, during your experiences, Tamara, you weren't, like, afraid?
No, it was the most peaceful, loving. It was, I felt at one time the most complete, happy, euphoric. I felt like it was the place I should have always been, and this was the strange place. So when people miss their relatives, I'm like, mm-hmm. Take out it good. We're the ones in the suffering because they're with the divine and all their needs are taken care of. The minute
yeah, that's
that I,
a lot when, you know, someone goes on to be with the Lord once they pass away.
Yes.
And I always know, like, you know, they're in a better place. I've lost loved ones in my life.
They
yes.
are.
But I always know that they are in a better place.
They, and, you know, we
no,
this, and then, but, you know, the way I look at it is like this. If you're thinking about taking up knitting, right, you
right.
might want to ask a knitter what's involved. Is it hard to do? I mean, if you want to know about heaven, you know, a preacher man or a preacher woman can talk all day about heaven, but you need to talk to someone who's been there, and I'm telling you, it's awesome. I mean, the minute that you cross over, you are one with God in everything. There is no weirdness. There's no, you know, here we have mixed emotions. We have people that are angry, full of hate, sad, depressed, blah, blah, blah. Then you got, you know, mean, crazy people that
right.
like serial killers, right? None of that.
And, Tamara, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I come from a very religious, Christian, strict background. And one of the scriptures that I've always heard was to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Absolutely. And we can bring that to here. We can bring heaven here, and that's one of the things he told me to do. He walked with me because I didn't want to go. And he said, there's a sequence of events you have to be a part of. Now, I'm fine, but I still knew what he meant. I said, okay. I didn't really understand, but I said, okay. And then he showed me my mom crying. He showed me her crying, and he said that's one of the reasons right there. And he said she needs you. And so I was like, okay, but it's free will, right? So I had to go along with it. He had to have my free will. Like he wants us to choose him. God wants us to choose him. And heaven and all that.
Even on earth, he gives us free will.
Absolutely.
You know?
But it's a higher, it's like this, being in love. You might love someone, oh, I love them. But you can't make that person love you. They have to come to you on their own accord. And when
exactly.
they come to you by their free will, it's even better, right?
Exactly.
When it's their idea, and this is your idea, and the two together, it's great. So he talked with me, and he said, I want to give you something. And I'm five. I said, a toy? And he laughed again. He laughs a lot. Okay? He's very lighthearted. He laughs a lot. Not laugh at me. He's just very light, very easy to be around. He's so pleasant. And he's got beautiful teeth and beautiful eyes. And he's not a very big man. He's like maybe, I don't know, 5'9", but he's not heavy. And he glows. He has this glowing inner light is the best way I could say. You know, I'm using human words that don't really do any of this justice, but as we walked, all the flowers and the blades of grass and the trees followed him. Every living thing followed him where he walked.
Oh.
They weren't like out here where we are. These trees and grass and the they were beautiful. The colors were amazing. It's almost like if you could think of Willy Wonka, you know how bright the colors are?
Right.
It was
so
electric. And they followed. Every blade of grass followed him as he walked, and they made way as he walked. And he said, I want to give you something. And after I realized it wasn't a toy, I said, why? And he took something off his sash, and he wrapped it around my left arm, and he said, I wrap you with my wisdom, my love, wisdom, and grace, And pray, he said, my love, wisdom, grace, and protection, I'll be with you always. And he said, much is given, much you'll give. And then he said that through the small things, the big things would be accomplished. He was talking about me and my life. And he said, and through the big things, it would be the little things that would be acknowledged and be of importance. And I think about even like our memories in our life, and we think of the things that are like very important to us and very sentimental. It's always the little things, like how your grandmother maybe braided your hair and gave you a kiss on the cheek or
right.
made your favorite soup. It was never the stuff.
Exactly.
And it is the little things. It's when someone is in the hospital and they're getting ready to pass and they don't know I'm there, and they grab your hand and squeeze it. I love you. And that stays in your heart forever. So he said that he wanted me to bring God's love here on earth, and that he basically wanted me to bring heaven to earth. And he said that he was going to, he said, much is given to you and much you'll give. And he gave me gifts. I'm just a spiritual gift. I have all the spiritual gifts that they mentioned in the Bible. I got all of them. He told me 8 months ago he wants me to start resurrecting people, and I laughed, and I went, okay, right, I'm just going to go into hospital and start doing it. And he said, all right. He didn't talk. He kind of just left me alone for a while.
Wow.
It was about a month or two. He was still there. He just let me think about it. And I felt really bad, and I felt really embarrassed. I said, I didn't mean to demean you or to think. That was just a lot, and I didn't mean to. If you want me to do that and the time comes, I will step up to the plate.
That's what it's all about, right?
Well, wonderful. Well, Tamara, you know what? Thank you so much for sharing your story. But let my listeners know how to get in contact with you.
That would be great. Okay, I have a website. It's southernbellmedium.com, and the bell is B-E-L-L-E. And I do offer, I am a bridge between this life and heaven, because I even have more NDEs. I do speak to people, only work with God and people in heaven. I don't know what other people do. Again, I speak for them. But for me, you know, I do, you know, work with the people in heaven. And as we talked, you know, your grandmother came through. And what people don't realize is that we do have loved ones around us all the time. I always say we all have a fan club in heaven, and they really love us very much. But I do readings and life path readings, and sometimes if you know Jesus, sometimes he'll show up, and I can't, of course, make him, but he makes his appearance a lot. People that know me, they laugh, because how do you tell someone, Jesus is here? I love to look at the people's face if I'm doing Skype or something. They're looking like, yeah, right.
I would love to do an on-air reading so that our listeners can get an idea of what you do. I know we're running short on time, but...
Yeah.
If we can do that, that would be great. I will be totally into that, and then we can give our listeners a chance to see what you actually do. Are you okay with that?
Oh,
yeah,
I'm fine with that. And listeners, also, you can call in live.
Did Noelle tell you that her grandmother came through, and I did an impromptu reading with her? I give it all
to
her grandmother.
Yeah, she mentioned that. I was just wondering, if you could do something for me, or maybe we can do something on the air. That would be great.
Yeah, we can definitely try.
I'm a little nervous, but I'm up for it, if you are.
Say that again?
I said I'm a little nervous, but I'm up for it, if you are.
Are you? If you're up for it, Renee, we can do it. So if you want to, we can. And the big thing is to remember when we're doing this, you got to think, when you go to heaven so many times, we're really spiritual beings. So people that get all spooky, I am not doing divination. I am not calling people in. They're already around you. It's not my family. I got a whole bunch of them around me. But, they're already around us. They were connected through the love. And so they love us. And we have not lost that love bond. There is no time that separates that. If anything, they love us more in deeper ways than we can imagine. So that's how they come to me. I connect through the love that they have through you. And that's how that works. And, you know, certain people will talk more than others, but generally how it works, I'll give you an idea and I'll describe, so I'll tell you how to get a good reading. Do you want me to go ahead with that right now and tell you? You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, first of all, they're coming from God, right? And it's the divine. So it's very loving and very light. Anything like fear, grieving, hatred, any misemotion, it acts as a barrier to them. So long as you have love in your heart, and you'll feel them as very sweet, that's all that, you know, all that it really takes. I'll describe what I see. I'll do my best. I'm human. It's funny. Occasionally I'll get a grandfather or a grandmother or a relative or someone going, get it right. I'm like, oh, God. But they do. They'll go, they said this. And they'll, I'm like, all right. They get impatient. And then I have others that are shy. And I'll say, go ahead. You know, now's your time. But I will describe who I'm getting. I get things like you do. I'll get, you know how a mother energy feels different than an aunt or a grandmother? Sometimes a grandmother feels an awful lot like a mother, though. But I'll give you what okay. It feels like, and then I'll go into the describing. I'll ask them to describe what they, how you might remember them, what they've got on. Then they might go into a memory, something you remember your whole life's on the plate, right?
Okay.
It could be something from, they could pull something from childhood, and you're going to have to, you know, just relax and go, okay. And if you say, well, I don't understand that, I'm like, okay. Or you may say, they were gone before I was born. That's helpful. Then I'll go, okay, then let me see who you do know that's around them. And then you'll say, well, yeah, that's my uncle. I knew him, but I didn't know him well. I'm like, okay, good. So then I'll ask them to give you a couple evidential things because I'm an evidential medium, even though I'm born with this gift. I've trained with a lot of famous people like John Holland, James Fair Prague. I'm certified by Lisa Williams, an advanced psychic medium, and then also Tony Sockwell, who I absolutely love, who's from the UK, and I've trained with some others, but that gives people confidence that, oh, you can actually do this, even though God is the one who certifies me to let people know that life goes on and heaven's real and our loved ones are in a good place. So once we define who that is and go, that's absolutely my grandmother, and I said, good, then I'll give you her message. And, of course, the message is love, but they just don't come for that. They will give you something really sweet, something encouraging, something they may see about your life right now. I have no idea. I just try to listen well, and I get it through hearing, seeing, smelling, highly clairvoyant, so I see things as a film strip. But I let them tell me the best way they can. I just try to trust and trust God. And they know this. They knew this would happen before we did. They tell my you know, we have holy guides over there and we have angels, and I just try to trust, just like when I'm in a store and God tells me to lay hands on a total stranger. I'm like, please don't have me do that, and I do. So it's that kind of trust. So if you're ready, I'll go ahead, and I'm just going to take a couple deep breaths and a glass of water, and let me take a sip here, and then we'll begin, okay? Okay, I feel like, kind of like, I think, I'm not sure, I can't remember and I know well. I remember it was your grandmother, but quite honestly, the next day, I don't even remember what we talked about. She'd have to jog my memory. It'll be the same with you. You might want to listen to the recording or write it down because I forget. It's not that I'm trying to be rude, but it's basically your information and not mine. But what I'm getting here, I'm seeing different people trying to come through at the same time, and they're like, I said, well, pick someone. Who's going to be the one talking? And it feels like to me, so I don't know if we need a reason. And sometimes on your end, you'll hear the names of people talking to you. I've had that happen. I'm like, because I can't hear it. So just because it's different doesn't mean it's spooky. I've seen an angel before, and that was awesome. It was very odd, but it was awesome. I've also seen demons, so just because, and that wasn't pleasant. But what I'm saying is you will get that, and so they're here. So it's just different, that's all. What I'm seeing here is like the time when I read a gentleman, and it was his dad, but I kept getting it was his brother because they acted more like brothers. And this is the feeling that I'm getting with a feeling of a woman that's around you, and it's almost like you're more like, I don't know if she's your actual sister or she feels like a sister or friend, or it could be like a mother energy that feels like a sister. So I feel like, I don't know if it's like biological sister, okay? But that's the feeling okay. That it feels like. And if that makes sense. So we got to figure out who this person is. That's the relationship, what it feels like. I feel like there's education. I don't know if you had an educational something with education, having to go to maybe the same school with this person. Let me see what she looks like. and I'm getting the feeling this person you've known, and I'm going to just throw it out there, this first person, she, whoever the person that comes through is the door opener, okay, to the others. However, I'm kind of getting the feeling right now as I'm saying this, and I'll tell you more, I'm not sure you know this person's past. I had the first guy dated 16 come through, and I didn't know he's crossed over. So this could be one of those. But she looks like someone you went to school with, and she's showing me, like, blemishes on her face, like acne. So you knew her at the time that she had acne. And I don't feel like it was so much you, Renee. I feel like that I kind of almost feel like she, not in a bad way, but was, like, a little jealous of you because you got, I'm getting the feeling, more attention from the guys, and she wasn't quite as pretty as you. Her skin didn't look as pretty. And she was a little bit awkward and so forth, and I kind of feel like that I'm almost feeling like the word nerd, and that she, I feel like she likes science, and not that you have to be a nerd to like science, but that kind of person. And let me see if I can get this name. It could rhyme like it and not be exactly. I don't know if it's Julianne or Julie or Jude or Juliet, Julianne. It's something. You know, I'm not quite. I can't quite. It's like a J name. I can't quite get the name. And sometimes if I haven't really heard it, it's hard for me to say it. Like if I haven't heard Beauregard, it's hard for me to get that name. So
okay, I'm not getting anything from that.
Pardon me?
I said I'm not getting anything. I can't think of anything.
Okay.
Like
so what I'm going to do, if you're not familiar with who this is, I feel like it's someone that what I'll do is I'm going to have them step to the side and bring through someone that you do know that's closer. There's someone around you that you went to school with that's passed. But I'm going to have, you know, but right now I'm just going to have her just step over to the side and pull someone. And there is a fella here, and he feels like an uncle, and I'm not sure if he's on your dad's side. Usually on the dad's side, I look to the left and the mom's to the right from the mom's side. I don't know why. But that's usually how I kind of know. And he is, it looks like he's taking, looks something like with tobacco, and I don't know if he's an uncle or a granddad. I can't really quite tell. But he's putting, it looks like that he's putting something in a pipe and tapping it, and the bag smells really good, like cherry flavored.
Okay.
Pipe. Does that make sense to you? And I feel like
a
very sweet man. He's a very sweet man. He's very patient. He's a great listener, and I don't know if this homie, see who this is. Okay, hold on. And this would be, okay, this is the feeling I get. I feel like he's married to, okay, now it's coming in more. He's married to, okay, that's the distance. Okay, he's married, it looks like he's married to your grandmother, who that would be your mom's mom. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay, because that's why I'm getting uncle, like what? That would be your grandmother, your mom's mom, the man she married, which is still your grandfather, but that's the connection, I get it. Okay. And he's kind of quiet, he's gentle in spirit, and he's very protective of you, and he's kind of, I feel like, especially in his day, he feels like he was a big man, but he was so quiet that he's just a quiet person. Does this make sense?
Kind of, yeah.
Your granddaddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Your granddaddy, and he really let your grandmother run the show, you know, but he would support her in whatever way and would always help out. He was a hardworking man, really worked hard. And I want to say almost he was always working two or three jobs. And he was really kind of happy to do that for his kids. But you had a little special place in his heart because, Shelly's talking to me. He said, well, how could she not be? You see how she is. He's talking about how you do have a sweetness about you. There is a sweetness, like a, what do you call it, a presence you have. And he's saying that that he's kind of taking credit for that. Like, you get some of your disposition from him. I feel like your grandmother could have a temper.
Right,
She could be set off. You know what I mean? Like, I told you not to leave the frying pan on, and she could be set off, right? You're going to burn it, you know? And he was just like, don't get all up like that. You know, he was much more chilling, and you're more like that. Which is funny. Now I'm kind of getting where you and Noelle. Noelle's a little bit more high strung. You're more like a little, she's more like a ocean, and you're more like a little river going by. Makes sense,
no.
I get it. Yeah, you know, you're a firecracker, and you're more leveled off.
No, she's
but
the firecracker. I'm the leveled off.
Yeah, I am kind of a firecracker.
Okay. Well, maybe
and
it's on some topic.
I'm sorry, Chris, for time, but I'm sorry. We have, like, 2 minutes. We have 2 minutes in. I have to take my callers and my listeners' questions.
Absolutely.
And I have tons of emails coming in.
Okay. So what I'm seeing here is that he's coming through. He's around you a lot. Your grandmother, would I be correct in saying your grandmother and your grandfather are both passed?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Now, your mom is living, though, correct?
No, she's deceased.
Okay. So that's the sister feeling that I get. Who's the E name, like Evelyn? Like Evelyn Champagne King?
I'm not getting any E names.
Okay. Unless you liked Evelyn Champagne King. Remember Shame, you know that song that she used to sing? Shame?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Evelyn Champagne King. That's what I'm getting here. How old? What does she want to say? Oh, gosh, because the time we're running out. Let me see what their message is. And you've got a cousin there that's with them, too. You've got quite a few people there. You've got a cousin. Your mom is... I'd like to spend more time with this, and we can at another time, but I feel like your mom feels like she let you down because she left too early, and she left you down. She let you down. Let me ask what happened to her.
Okay.
I feel like her body gave out. She was sick, and I feel like that I don't know what's going on with my chest. I don't know if it's my breast or my heart. I don't know. She feels like she let you down, but she did things. She's saying she did things she could have taken care of better of herself, because I don't feel like she's an old woman. I just don't. But I feel like she could have lived longer. She feels like she let you down to not be here for you. And she feels like she let you down in other ways, not being there for you and spending more time with you the way that she should have. And there's things that she should have done as a mother that she feels like that, okay, all right, here we go. She was more acting like a sister to you, like, than a mom. The grandmother acted more like a mom. This is what I'm getting. Does this make sense? There were times she acted more like a sister to you than really that mom authority figure.
Maybe. I guess it could be seen that way. It didn't bother me, though.
Okay. That's okay, because they're showing me my mom was like that because she had me so young. So we were more like sisters. People would always say you look like sisters, or they were more like that than like the... Okay, now I want you home at this time. She was very lenient on me. She was very chilling, more like a sister. And I think that she's maybe feeling that you know, some of that was great, that great friends, but that she should have at times been more of a mom, but she said she was trying to learn how to be that. Just know that they're around you all the time. They also said that you are looking at something about a career and about wanting to... not really change a career, but go to the next level in your career. And you're very frustrated.
Okay, true.
You want to go to the next level. And you're very frustrated, and you're having almost some power struggles with I don't know if it's your husband or guy you're dating, but it feels like almost like they're a baby, like they want your attention, and it's like, oh, my God, I got a baby at home. Not a baby man. That you just have to attend to them, and you really want to go to like your next phase of your career, and that you love them, but you need to focus on you. This is all resonate?
Yeah, that's all very true.
Yeah, and you know what? He'll be fine. And your grandmother's stepping up now because she's more like the matriarch, you know, the family of the. She's more like the mom role. Like, all right, I've had it. You know, your mom was much more lenient. She's saying, don't worry about it. She said, he'll be fine. She said, he's a big boy. She would talk. He's a big boy. He'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
And that's, and I don't know, I feel like, now, wait a minute, you knew her, Noelle, you knew her mother and her grandmother, correct?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, because they're coming through and they're sending their love to you. And they said, we love you and we love that you've taken her under your wing. So, Renee, you must be younger, or Noelle's acting like she's your friend and sister-like, but she's almost like a mentor. You know,
right.
She's always been that way, like an older sister, like taking you in.
Right,
and
like
they, and they're blowing Noelle kisses, 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 thank you.
Oh,
and
that's
then
so sweet.
For doing that. They say thank you for doing. They see what you do for her, and they do things for her. She does. They're now telling on you, Noelle. You do things for Renee that you don't even know. Like if you know that something's not in her best interest, you don't even bring it to her attention. Do you know what I mean? Like an opportunity, or if someone would be like, maybe someone might be a little too fresh around her, like a guy, you would be like, you would make sure in that meeting. Or you would make sure that, you know what I mean? You're like Mama Bear. You kind of taken on the role of Mama Bear, and they're thanking you so much. Matter of fact, there's so much love for you that they see you as one of them, like you're one of us.
Oh,
well, check out Noelle. She's even overpowering my reading.
Your reading, right?
Oh, my goodness.
She's just overpowering.
Well, look, I know you've got a lot to do, but...
Your grandmother
and your mom say one last thing, and your mom is saying this now, and your grandmother's saying, they're all just standing around and supporting. There's more than the ones I've mentioned around you, and they love you dearly. Is your mom says, reach for the stars. And I think she liked disco like me, because she's singing disco songs like Evelyn Champagne King. She's saying shame. I think that was about her. You have to think about the stuff that's deep. They can use one thing, and it can mean three or four things. But she's talking, reach for the stars, reach for the stars, and I will be there, go to paradise, that song. She's singing it, and she's telling you to reach for the stars, and don't let anyone hold you back. And your grandmother, your mom, they're pushing you. They're like showing like pushing, and they're smiling like they're cheering like little cheerleaders.
Oh well, that is great. That is definitely great. I'm gonna have
now they got me pumped up.
I'm very familiar with that. So remind me, Noelle, to check out that song. And
I really enjoyed my reading.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and then also, God bless. Also, to your readers, let them know at southernbellmedium.com that if they do want to sign up for an hour reading, it's $250, do Skype or phone, they get an extra 30 minutes for $125.
Wow.
And we get in some deep healing. I get into, sometimes I'll tell them the angels that are around them, which ones they are. I'll even do body scans if anything's wrong or whatever. And, heck, I've had dogs come through, like dogs got worms, and they tell them some home remedy for their dogs.
Well, wonderful.
Look,
thank you so much. You have a great
day. God bless you both.
All
right. Take care,
thank
Renee.
You.
Bye, Noelle.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
God bless you.
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. You're listening to Current Situations Radio. Listeners, call in live at 888-627-6008. Wow, Renee. That was crazy, wasn't it?
Right. That was definitely an interesting interview. I had a lot of fun with her.
Yes, I love Tamara. Thank you so much, Tamara. Shout out to Tamara. Girl, these email questions have really been coming in. And I've chosen a few since we're out of time. But I want to go with this first situation that comes from Shante from Houston. And it says, Renee, I'm 19 years old, and I am a freshman in college. To supplement my income, I strip on the weekends. Well, last weekend, one of my college professors came into the club that I work at. I even gave him a few lap dances, and he tipped quite generously. The situation is now, when we are in class, which is an English class, he totally disrespects me. I've been late a couple of times, and he'll make comments about my night job must have kept me up, or boy, do you look different today. I've only danced for him that one night, and I'm on the verge of dropping his class altogether. Yay or nay? What should I do? Wow.
I say nay. I mean, it is what it is. You can't let him deter you from getting your education. At the end of the day, he's a professor, but he's still a man.
Exactly.
Oh, excuse me. I'm a little offended by that because it puts you in a very bad situation.
It does.
And I feel for you, girl, on this situation. I really do. But I say tough it out. It's a semester. You know, make sure you don't ever take his class again. And just tough it out. Do what you got to do. Be on time. Finish that class and get out of there. I don't really see, unless the situation gets worse, about making a big issue with the dean or something. If he does something to disrespect you or puts his hands on you or does something outrageous, then I would say it would be time to talk to the dean. But other than that, I say tough it out. I'm sorry to hear that. That's a tough situation. And if you're working and going to school in the same town, that might be something you're going to have to deal with, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I say she should just continue her education. Education is the key. Wouldn't you say
something?
Right. Sunday?
Tough it out.
Right. So stay in class, Shante. Okay. Our next one is coming from Eric, all right, a male writer. He wrote, ladies. Oh, this is for both of us. I had a child with an ex 8 years ago. We ended on good terms and currently co-parent. This is my only son. And since then, the mother of my son has had three more children with two different baby fathers. The situation is one of the fathers is in prison, and the second father was never in the picture. The situation is every time I go to pick up my 8-year-old son, his little 6-year-old half-brother wants to tag along. And the 2-year-old little girl is starting to call me daddy. And my ex doesn't stop it and gets upset when I don't allow the other son to come over for weekend visits. And now she says, unless I take both, I cannot take our son. Ain't that some BS? Oh, my God.
Ain't
that's
it,
a
though?
Lot, that's a lot going on
is.
There.
She needs to knock it all the way off.
Oh, wow. He is not responsible for her other children unless you guys were married. It does not look like he signed up for this.
No, he didn't. And it's not at all his responsibility, and I'm sure he feels bad, and it's a heartbreaking situation. But his responsibility lies with only with one child, and that this kid's mother needs to get it all the way together as far as even sending. Or that would be her place to step up and talk to her children about this. This is not your dad. This is such and such dad. And that's just the way that it is.
Yes. I would love
to hear. It's just sad that women try to do that, put additional responsibility on a man with children that's not his.
Exactly.
I would love
have
a serious conversation
with
her.
A male point of view on this. I would. Can I have one man just call in? Come on, listeners. I would love to have a male's point of view. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. I would just love to have, like, another to get Eric some help here, you know, because we're telling him, you know, like, no, it's not your responsibility. I
would say no. That's a nay.
Yeah, that
you need
is
to
definitely
really stand up and nip it in the bud before this other child gets attached to you and the other children get attached to you. And it doesn't sound like that's something that you want to do. So you need to nip it in the bud and maybe say in front of the other kids, oh, I would like to have you, but I need to spend time with my child.
Yeah.
I'm not your dad. Like, I'm sorry that you have to tell kids that, but it's just basically what it is. And if the mother is not going to do it, then you have to do it, you know? And that's just the way it is. I feel for you, Eric, though.
I know, Eric. Good luck with that situation.
The whole baby mama drama. He got
drama. That's a lot. And then the poor little innocent children, now they become a part of it because now they have to, you know, go with boundaries and feel a certain type of way, maybe a little jealousy.
Because their father isn't in the picture, but that's not his responsibility to even concern himself with.
I know. That's why you really have to be careful, women, who you have kids with these days. sorry to say.
Most definitely, most definitely.
This next one is coming for Nave, Amber from Los Angeles, California. She says, Renee, I love your Facebook page. So with that being said, how do you deal with all the haters? You put so much out there about men, I know that they must feel like you're giving up their game. Oh, and I've read their comments.
Oh, wow, Amber, you're not playing, huh? You went in.
Oh, she went in, didn't she?
Yeah, shout out to Amber. No, I think what it is just that I personally use my Facebook as, you know, an outlet, you know, and I put myself out there because that's what I do daily on a basis. If you know me, you know that I kind of always put myself out there. So I'm not too much worried about the men, like, feeling some type of way that I'm giving up their game. They know that, you know, and I don't know. I'm kind of, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I take it all with a grain of salt. I realize it's all social media, and sometimes they're going to like you, and sometimes they're going to hate you. So I just basically deal with it like that.
Wow, that's a great answer. Well, thank you so much for listening to Current Situation Radio. And once again, I would like to give a special thanks to Tamara so much for that reading.
Happy Hump Day, everybody.
Thank you.